And so I've been keeping a journal lately, and I decided to do something a little different with what I usually journal about. I just usually journal, you know, things that are on my heart, and I just talk to God. But I have this new running series in my journal called Thanksgiving, and it has each day I'll write something that I'm thankful for. And it really gave me a new perspective of my life now, because God's been telling me, you know, if you don't know where to start with Thanksgiving. And there's a verse in Psalms that says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And this has changed me because it, like, renews your mind. It, like, switches your perspective to focus on him. And when you do that, it glorifies him, because the things of the world start to grow dim, and he starts to grow even more lighter than he is. And it, I know, like, for me, sometimes I struggle to begin with prayer or with worship, but God keeps reminding me, like, when you don't know where to start, just start with thanksgiving. And that's, like, so real to me, and I hope it becomes real to you too.
One more? All right, closing up the floor. We're going to invite Oleg up. Oleg's got a word to share today, so let's see what God's trying to speak to us. Yeah, Sprouts, yeah, you can head out. All right.
Oh, it's all right. I'll grab it. Wait, what's too far? All right, I think that's good. Well, I'm going to try to read in the dark so you guys could be comfortable. Lord, bring the light into their lives. Well, I think and when we had our youth, you know, convention or leadership meeting, one of the things that people suggested we talk about, one was joy, and the other one was talking about difficult times in our life. We all know, and we see, especially recently, a lot of, like, high-profile individuals that made some really tough choices, and everyone found out about it, and one of them at least ended his life. And, you know, I think it's important. There's just Elevate here today. And, well, of course, I think it's important even for us to, like, this message is also for you as much as it is it for me. And so it's so important for us to understand that how we handle difficult situations in our life, as Christians, do we have doubts and fears? And, you know, if there's people that are leaders that are in the kingdom and they're making some of these choices, or they're this announcing their faith or they're falling off, is God able to keep? Because the Bible says the Lord keeps and no one can take them out of his hand. And I wanted to talk about that and help you guys understand. I think the first thing to understand is it's okay to have those questions. It's okay to have, you know, those emotions. It's okay that it gets hard. Like, that's okay. You can be okay with that. Like, it's going to happen. You're going to have tough times, and you're going to have those questions and those doubts and those fears. But I want to speak to you tonight, something I've titled Dissolving Doubt. Dissolving Doubt. And I believe this will be good for us personally, and even to share with people, and just to strengthen our position. But really what this message is going to do is it's going to set you up to take time to spend with the Lord and really dissolve some of those things that are on your mind with him. You know, Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. And this word trouble, what he says is, in this world you will have pressure. And it's as if you're confined without options. I know so many people in the world today, even us as believers, we can get in a place where we feel like we have no more options. And Jesus says, in this world, you will have troubles. You will have tribulation. You will have places where you feel like there's no option. But he says, he finishes it off and he says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so if he's overcome it, but he tells us that we're going to have trouble, then we know that he has the solution. And he is the solution. And that's what people ask today, and that's what people have questions for us today. And so they ask, like, okay, you know, they feel like they don't have options, or they feel like maybe there's a wall between them. You know, maybe they're singing well, maybe their pages are well, maybe they're how they present themselves as well, but, you know, inside could be broken, inside could be doubts and fears, inside could be insecurities, and sometimes we do a good job of having this wall, having this, everything's okay on the outside, but the inside has all of this stuff, and it's okay to have that, but what we're talking about, and the leaders, that what they did wrong was how they handled it. So it wasn't wrong that they had these situations, they were struggling with stuff, and even that they shared that they were struggling with it. It was how they handled it. And as us as leaders, being in positions where we're leading people and influencing them, it's so important to understand and to manage and to understand how we handle tough times, tough situations, and tough areas in our life. I think that, you know, sometimes, like, especially where we see this, like with that one guy, He went away, wrote a whole book and everything. Like, sometimes, you know, we won't open the Bible, we won't open this book, but, like, you know, they shared it on social media, or they shared it on Facebook and all that stuff. Sometimes, like, we won't go to and ask for help, but we're so quick to go and vent to everyone. And even looking down my high school, like, if you ever go to your history, you know, on Facebook, what you posted, it's like, sometimes it's like, you know, like, I came from a small town, so it's like, you can't imagine what gets posted there. Sometimes I'm like, okay, people, like, you don't realize how dumb you sound right now, you know? I'm moving out of this town, time for a new life, I hate everything. It's like, okay, you know? And just thinking about that, and I think even we could find ourselves snapping a lot of our own relationships because we think, how we interact with them is there's something wrong with them. But really, there's something that you feel that's wrong about you, or that's wrong about the choices you make, or that's just wrong. And so we need to learn how to handle that, and we need to learn how to overcome, because the Bible says we are overcomers. So the first step would be to, like, acknowledge your emotions. They're telling you something. And so we read those, and those times that we feel them or we sense something coming out, we need to analyze it and so understand how to deal with it. And that's what we're talking about today. And I want to share about David. You know, David was really real, and he was really honest. But he took his big problems to a big God. And there's that line that says, don't tell God you have a big problem, tell your problems you have a big God. But really, the Bible says to cast your burdens on the Lord because he cares for you. And I understand what that's saying, but, you know, we have to tell our problems to God. That's what, you know, one of the things of prayer. We can bring it before someone who's in control of it. And so we tell our problems to God, and then we go move the mountain with him. And then we tell our problems that we have a big God. And so that's what I wanted to show you. And he says in Psalm 55, 4-7, it says, my heart is severely pained within me. And this is so common in the Psalms. I think that's why David connects to us. That's why he puts us into... it's so easy to connect in our private time with the Lord because he's so honest, but he's doing it to God. And he's actually overflowing, and we're getting the right of his overflow. And he says, my heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness, and I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. You know, that sounds just like me when I'm going through something hard. Like, we just want to book it somewhere. We want to run. We want medication from something, and we just want out of it. And I love what Charles Spurgeon, he said when he in the sermon, and he was talking about this, and I found it. I mean, it was so awesome. He said, Why? David had been in the wilderness because he just said, oh, that I would have wings, I would fly off to the wilderness. But we know from the Psalms that there was times when David had been in the wilderness, and then he sighed to get back to the temple of God. Remember, there's a psalm that said, I miss when we used to make a procession to the house of God with joy and praise. And he writes, but such foolish creatures are we at our very wisest that we know not what we sigh for. It was good for David that he had not wings, and it is good for you that you cannot run away. God has made you no armor for your back, because you must go forward. Long ago, he burnt our boats. We cannot return. We must forward now to the eternal victories in his strength. And I thought that was so, like, it was so awesome to see that. That, you know, we want to often run, but God made us armor, and there's no armor for the back because we're going forward. We're more than conquerors. We're overcomers. And so, actually, the way we handle some of this stuff, the Bible says the only thing we flee from is sexual sin. Or like encounter or whatever you would say, like the wrong immorality. Yep. And so that's what we'll start with today. And I have a first point for you. But before I share that, you know, we're talking about dissolving doubt. And it's not like we don't defy the diagnosis, but we don't deny the diagnosis, but we defy the verdict. So the things in our life that are there, they're there. We can't deny them. We can't not face them, but we defy the verdict. How we started is not how we have to finish. And what we're going through does not have to be what defines our story or writes our story. And that even David said that, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And David was such a big proponent and an example of even talking to himself, of taking his time and just addressing the problems and then saying, hope in God. You know, dissolve that doubt, stand firm. And the first point I want to share with you is see the big picture. And we're going to share from Joshua 6. And that's going to be our main passage for today, Joshua 6. And I'm just going to read some. We're going to be skipping around. Just to get you guys an idea of the story, all of you know it, but I want to share it with you again. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went in and none came in. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days, and seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. And then we'll skip to verse 15. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early at about the dawning of the day and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city seven times. And the seventh time it happened when the priests blew the trumpets that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. So the people shouted, verse 20, when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout, the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And I just wanted to share that because I wasn't sure, you know, if I wanted to remind us of the story. But we're starting off, and the Lord says to Joshua, see. And Max, if you could pull up that video, this is how sometimes we see.
Yeah.
This is pretty funny. And it says, "Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went in and none came out. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor.'" You know, it's so interesting, as I was reading this, the Holy Spirit showed me. He said, you know, for he spoke to my heart, and he said that the city, from the people looking at it, was securely shut. It actually looked a lot harder. It was securely, there was no way in. And for the people there, it looked even more impossible. And then God says, "See, I have given you victory." Because God saw, see, the outside was sealed, but the inside, the heart was already crumbling. What looked like what was strengthened and what looked like was even harder, what looked like was more despair, was more of a challenge, was actually just their response to fear, that they knew that victory against them was coming. And God had obviously the vision. He understood what was going to happen, and that he said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand." And I just want us to think about, like, when in things in our life, you know, I think it's so important, and we say this all the time, but just to actually do it. When it gets harder, you know, you started reading your Bible. I have some friends, you know, they share, like, as soon as I tried, started being more good, everything got so much worse. It's like, I just had the worst day today, and I did everything right. Or you started reading your Bible, and it just got harder. You started praying, and it started, and it seems like all the more harder. You know, you serve God, and this happens in your life, or this in your family. And it just seems like, you know, this thing is just getting more, the city is just unconquerable. It's impenetrable. And in that, really, what Jericho, you know, was representing right now for us is something that we struggle with, or something that comes against us in our life. And for each one of you, you have something, or maybe a few, that things that you have to go against. And some of us, you know, sometimes as people, when you work with them, is sometimes we feel like Jericho. We're on the outside, we're shut. On the outside, we're doing great. But on the inside, the heart is crumbling. And I think it's just so relieving to understand and get the vision of God that, first of all, it's okay. And second of all, He sees. And He sees the victory, and He knows what's going on, and He knows our heart. David says, "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." The only thing David was hanging on to is believing, is trusting, is seeing the way God sees it. And I was just thinking, you know, when we read the word, we see the beginning and the end from the beginning. And we see the Joshua, "Don't be afraid, you're going to take the city." But in our life, when we read this and we get encouraged by people, or the Lord promises something to us, we see it, but then we don't see the big picture, and it seems impossible. And this is not just good stories or also promises, but not just promises. This shows that God has never lost. That every time God has come through for His people. And that every time God's way is what works, and it is His way. And I that's so important for us to read the word and apply it to our life. Allow the Holy Spirit to apply this to your situation. We can make awesome choices. We can make much more confident choices if we're in this word, because He's going to show it to us. He's going to show us ways in our life. And I think that's just a good reminder that faith is seeing the victory before the battle. And so when things get worse, just keep going and ask God to help you see it how He sees. Ask God to help you see the victory. And the second thing is private encounter before public rule. I was reading this, and then I went a little before, and this is like, I love encounters with God. And this was so amazing. Look at this, Joshua 5, 13 to 15. This is right before chapter 6. "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked. And behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, 'Are you for us or are you for our adversaries?' So he said, 'No. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, 'What does my Lord say to his servant?' Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. You know, maybe Joshua was going out to map out Jericho. Maybe he was going out to just see it. Maybe he wanted to pray or something before he led all those people there. And he sees this man. And, you know, the New King James Version capitalizes man because they believe it's the, like when it says angel of the Lord, it's the pre-New Testament revelation of Christ. And that they say, that they believe this is the divine encounter. And Joshua goes out to Jericho and he sees him and he asks that. And it's such a good message in us. And I want to share something and I'm going to post something over. But to be a successful Christian, you need an encounter because you need to be filled and refilled. And I want to share something with you guys. I'll put it over here. And, you know, if this represents ministry, and for now we'll focus on the cup. This is our cup. This what's a cup for? A cup is basically only useful when it's filled. If you think about it, the purpose of the cup, the purpose of a vessel is to be filled. And so this is what happens. We have an encounter, and, you know, we'll just... And then we have, like, things in our life. Say if I was walking, just normal things, and they spill all over. Am I going to spill it on this? And then we have our ministry. And so whatever's left, you know, we pour in there. And then this is us again. But the way that God operates in us and the way that he's designed us is that we are to be filled, but we are to be continually filled. And so really what I would like to have is a hose with running water. And so you can always be filled and you always be full. And this is really how ministry should operate, is that instead of you just getting enough and then go pouring it around till you run out, you should just be getting overflowed. And as you overflow, not only are you filled, but then the ministry and the people around you are being filled. And that's such a good example, and that's a good illustration of what the Bible teaches. Is David said, my cup overflows. And the reason why some of the Psalms are so powerful, yes, they're inspired by the Holy Spirit, and they came out of overflow. You know, and they shared with us, and that's how we'll be effective in our life. We need that encounter. And so we need that private encounter before that public role. And when we find ourselves exhausted, maybe you're exhausted today, or maybe you're tired, maybe that one outreach was great, but then it became like, I'm just not feeling it. And it's because we need to make his presence our priority. Because when his presence is our priority, then our cup begins to overflow as we encounter his presence, and everything around us begins to get impacted by the overflow. And that comes out of that. I believe Vlad shared, Savchuk shared that. He said, if you don't want ministry to be a burden, then find his presence or be in his presence. Encounter his presence. And that's so good in our lives when we get tired, when we get weary, when there's something in our life. And usually something in our life, either sin with guilt and shame and all that, and maybe even running from something like Jonah did, is driving us, or people. People draw from us. And the solution is always the presence of God. And that's personal to you. That has to be something that's in your life. That has to be something that's for us. And Revelation, you know, talks about the water of life. That river is always flowing. But it's your job to be filled, to become available, to come under that river. It's not like some days he offers himself, some days he doesn't. He always offers himself. He always has the best of himself for you, and he always has time for you. But we need to make that time for him. That has to be our priority. And then we won't have burnout. Then we won't be tired. Then we won't be unconfident. Then we won't be, everywhere we go, everywhere that the sole of our foot treads, it'll be for us. And the other key in this encounter is verse 13 and 14 of Joshua 5. And he said, and it came to pass, you know, Joshua said, are you for us or against us? And watch what he says, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does your Lord say to his servant? I think that, you know, the way that the man here, or Christ, and responded is so amazing. Because so many times we come to God with our own agenda. God, I have such a busy week. What are you going to do with it? God, I have this agenda. What are you going to do with it? God, this and this and this. What are you going to do with it? And Joshua says, are you for me or against me? I'm going in. I'm taking Jericho. Are you for me or against me? And he says, no. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have come. And Joshua said, speak. Like, what does your Lord say to his servant? And that has to be the position of our heart, because sometimes what God wants to do, the priority of God's presence, is so much bigger, so much out of the scope of our agenda, of what we have on our lives, of our hearts. And God, we need to get that. I want to share that it's like, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have my plans. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans of good and not for evil. We need to come under that. And that's where the answer is. That's where we don't get burned out. That's where we prioritize him. And, you know, I don't know if it's like you, but I used to drive a lot on empty. Like, I'll put like $5-$10 in the car. And, you know, if you're that type of person, I'm going to probably correctly assume that the rest of your life is running on empty, like most areas of your life. You're always almost making it there, almost had enough, almost. And we find it so inconvenient to fuel up, to stop and fuel up, but you need to fuel up, because to get to where you're going, you need fuel. And that's something that they shared with us at Wings, and I was like, wow, that's so awesome, because we all have we all have tanks. There's our spiritual tank, there's our emotional, there's our physical, there's our relational and intellectual, and people draw from them. And so people draw from those, and you need to be fueled. Otherwise, they will draw you. And they said something, a line, Lori Bolton said a line that impacted me so much. She said, if you don't set yourself apart, you'll see yourself fall apart. If you don't set yourself apart, you'll see yourself fall apart. What a reminder to prioritize his presence, to stop for fuel. And I've even begun thinking of the way I travel, the way I do that, because sometimes we can be so busy, but busy doesn't mean we're being productive, and busy doesn't mean we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. But busyness always has consequences and effects. And so I want us to be reminded of that, to fuel up, to go to those, do those things, like to when we vacation, to actually get rest. And I'll be so worried about hitting everything or, you know, whatever, like just to come back not rested. Like everything that we do, we need to fuel so that, especially as in ministry, so that we can influence the people around us for the glory of God. And I think what the most, such a great example that I heard from that is, she said, she gave this example, and it was United Airlines. And they started doing flights. Well, they've been doing flights, but when gas got expensive, they started doing flights 1 to 3 minutes longer per flight. And so just by slowing down the plane 1 minute, 2 minutes, or 3 minutes, you wouldn't have even noticed it. So you have a 45-minute flight. You wouldn't know if it was 46 minutes. They saved $41 million in a year just by slowing down their planes 1 to 3 minutes. And what an application in our life. If we slow down, if we prioritize, instead of said, God, I'm too busy, how much would we actually have in resources, have saved in energy, have saved in struggle, have saved in our choices, and be able to use that, be able to be effective and grow? And that's just, that was just striking for me. You know, the Bible is a mirror, but you're going to have to stay still to see it. When we have to come before the presence of God and become still. And I think that sometimes that when we come still, we're scared to be still, because the crazy thoughts come out and the busyness of our lives starts catching up with us and all of that stuff. And sometimes, you know, even our insecurities, you know, we're afraid they're going to surface, and things that we haven't dealt with or things that we've done, and they begin to come up if we be still. But I'd rather have them come up in the presence of God, in the presence of my Father, who loves me, who has a solution for me, than snap out in public with my friends or in my relationships, break relationships because I'm not dealing with that. The safest place is always in the presence of God because He's never going to hurt you. He's never going to abandon you, leave you. He loved you while you were still a sinner. How could He not love you anymore when you're His child? So take time to be still. Open the Word and let it read you. Enjoy His presence. It doesn't always have to be requests. Sometimes it's just enjoying Him. Learn to process before the Lord. If you can learn to process before the Lord, you're going to keep going. You're going to take time. And then also, God puts people in your life, trusted people, that we can process before. We can say things. We can be honest. We can be real. But to whom and how has to be people that God has put in our life and God Himself, first of all. So private encounter before public role. Let's fuel up. And then third thing is, let Jericho fall, not fall on you. I was reading in morning prayer, I think it was Friday. And I'm just reading, usual time, morning prayer, Mark 10, I turn on a song. Actually, it's like a prayer song. It's one of my favorites. And the lady sings Blind Bartimaeus. And she goes, I'm just a blind Bartimaeus, son of David, have mercy. Open my eyes. And I began reading this story of blind Bartimaeus. And let's read it really quick. Mark 10:46. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, and he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer. Rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received the sight and followed Jesus on the road. And I prayed a prayer, you know, I've learned this has become my prayer, that it's like an arrow prayer, basically like a quick shot. And I sensed there was something, and I prayed. I said, Holy Spirit, open my eyes. And this is what I do before I open the Bible, or when I remember, in case I didn't, open my heart and give me understanding of your word. And I read that again, and my eyes literally froze at Jericho. It says, now they came to Jericho, and it like froze right there. I didn't see that when the first time I read. And I just began thinking about this, and I began hearing, and I just reread it. And it says, now they came to Jericho, and as Jesus went out of Jericho with his disciples, and I just began to understand. See, this is all many years later. Jericho had already moved on. Jericho had been rebuilt thousands, maybe hundreds or thousands of years later. And Jesus and his disciples went in and out. But that was where blind Bartimaeus was stuck. And I just began to think about this and read about it. You know, there's so many young people, leaders, Christians that made Jericho their home. And just a reminder, don't make Jericho your home. See, Jesus and his disciples, they went in and out, but blind Bartimaeus, that's where he was stuck. Jericho was his home. He was by the road begging, but usually they would be outside, and then the city was there for protection. And maybe, you know, maybe the relationship was over, but there's still hurt, wounds. Maybe you're still stuck. Your heart is. You know, maybe the time went on, maybe the seasons changed, but that choice that you made, you still think about it and it holds you there. You know, maybe you want to make the choice so badly, the right choice, that you're stuck there because you're paralyzed by the fear of just making the right choice. When Jesus, or in the Word of God says, wherever the sole of your foot treads upon, that I have given you. See, don't become so paralyzed. Don't make Jericho your home. And even blind Bartimaeus. And the word is, don't adopt the situation. Don't stay there. Don't let it wound you and hurt you where you're still there after things have moved on. And blind Bartimaeus, even though he was blind, he still saw his need for God, for Jesus. And he saw the opportunity, he saw what he needed, and he cried out. And people tried to stop him, people around him. His situation was so bad. He didn't let that stop him. He went for Jesus. And that's for our lives an example. It says he cried out all the more. And I'm just reminded, like, don't adopt the situation. You know, in the hardest time, in the hardest moment, don't throw in the towel. I think Vlad shared this, but someone else said it. It said, don't throw in the towel. Use it to wipe the sweat and keep going. And I've learned one thing that, and it really, even simple stuff like morning prayer. You wake up in the morning, if you fight that battle of whether you want to do morning prayers anymore, you're going to lose every time. I fight that battle when I have my best prayer day of my life. When I had that revelation, when I'm inspired, when I could pray for hours, that's when I make the choice that I'm going to continue this. And in your life, don't fight those battles in the hardest moment. Meaning, like, don't decide whether you're going to do it or not going to do it when it's the hardest. Decide when you're feeling, you know, that anointing, that power, and then when you're down, like we read, you know, you draw from the Lord, that private encounter, fuel up. And if I could share that main principle, it would be to not fight when it's so hard. And when we're in our lives and we're talking about difficult situations and dissolving doubts and there's things in our mind or in our hearts that are so difficult, that's not the moment to give in. And like David said, he said, why is my soul disquieted? Wait on the Lord. If I had not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord, I would have already lost. So believe, stand firm. Don't let Jericho become your home. And even those situations, you need to bring those up before God. Maybe there's something you did or didn't make a choice, and it's just paralyzing you sitting where you are. And I want you guys to bring that before the Lord. Bring that before people that God has put in your life, pastors and leaders. And let them lead you. Let them guide you. And with that, I really just wanted to take some time. It's great that it's just us. To take some time and just pray, you know. We can have like an altar type moment. And I feel like there's lately, you know, in the culture, just a stigma against altars. Well, you know, Jesus asked him, he said, what do you want me to do for you? And he's asking a blind person who obviously wants sight. And sometimes we don't take the time to be still and actually find out what we need and ask for it. James reminds us to ask. You have not because you ask not. It's not that Jesus needed to know. It's not that Jesus needed to hear. It's that blind Bartimaeus or you need to realize who it is that you need, what you need, and bring it before the Lord so that he can help and he can deliver and he can set free. So I want to personally, I'm going to take some time and just sit here. And as Leah just plays, I mean, Dina plays the keyboard. And I just want to take some time and I want his presence because I have plenty of food. I can buy to eat whatever I want. I'm grown up. But it's him that I want. And I've been frustrated, you know, even with people. Once your passion for people begins to drift away, it's because God's presence hasn't become your priority. Because his presence, him filling you, is always going to push you, always going to overflow into those around you. And you're going to have a love for people, and you're going to have perseverance to go on. You're also going to have the answers to your life. So see the big picture. Just like that kid holding onto the rope. You know, not that our situations aren't difficult, but see the big pictures. And then two was private encounter before public role. Fuel up, have that encounter with Jesus. And that's not just a one-time thing. Otherwise, you'll be like that cup in just a little bit, and then you come back from war. Let it constantly flow so it can flow to those around you. And then the last thing, let Jericho fall, but not on you. Don't make Jericho your home. Allow Jesus to heal you. Allow Jesus to touch your life. So I'm going to be up here. You can choose a seat. You can be up here. It doesn't matter. But just, I encourage you guys to respond. Thanks.
Can we just pair up like two or threes and pray for each other? Just prophesy into each other's lives. I'm sorry if it's interrupting your personal time, but...